I just want to see everybody have that mind shift of like,
yeah,
what do you really need? What do you really want? And, you know, even take that a step deeper to what's under that and see just people thrive and enjoy what they do and have a joyful life.
Welcome to the Teach Music Online podcast, where we help music teachers thrive. I'm Carly Walton, your host, and on this podcast, we discuss marketing strategies, tech for online teaching, mindset for growth, course creation, and so much more. No matter where you are in your journey, here you'll receive weekly inspiration to boost your studio success. Thanks for joining me. Welcome back to the Teach Music Online podcast, where we dive deep into the journeys of some of the most inspiring and innovative music teachers in our community. I hope that you had a wonderful week. I'm so excited to share an interview today with one of our Teach Music Online members, Kristen Huffhand. Today, we're diving into a topic that I don't believe we've talked about on this podcast yet, and that is how to take time off when you need to in your studio. Kristen is sharing in this episode about her maternity leave and how she structured her studio in a way that she was able to seamlessly take time off after the birth of her second child. Kristen is not only a dedicated wife and mother, but also a visionary piano teacher who has seamlessly blended her family life with her passion for music. With a degree and license in pre-K through 12th grade music education from Ball State University, Kristen's journey has been diverse, teaching choir, voice, general music, and piano across various settings. Her decision in July of 2022 to leave her full-time job and focus on building her studio felt like a leap of faith to her that has since blossomed into a thriving hybrid piano studio. In today's episode, Kristen shares her incredible story of transitioning from an afternoon job teaching at a school to running a full-fledged online studio. I think that this topic is super relatable, both for taking time off, but also making this transition. We dive into how she manages to carve out time in her studio without sacrificing income, offering a fresh perspective on achieving freedom and flexibility as a music teacher. Kristen's journey is a testament to what's possible when you align your work with your life's priorities. I am sure that you will find our conversation inspiring. So grab a cup of coffee, settle in, and let's explore Kristen's journey together. You won't want to miss the creative strategies and heartfelt passions that she brings into the world of online teaching. Let's dive into my discussion with Kristen. Kristen, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm just thrilled to have you on. You are also a mother of young kids. Yes. And you have been inside our Teach Music Online program, and we've connected, and I've just loved watching you implement a lot of our methods and really, really grow your studio. So I'm just thrilled to have you here.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so some rapid fire questions to get us going.
Okay.
What is your favorite type of dessert?
Anything chocolate, for sure. I'm a sucker. Sucker for chocolate.
It's so funny. That's how I am. My husband would rather have like the sweet, like strawberries, or like if we're buying candy at the store, I like the chocolate and he likes the like Starbursts and Skittles.
Oh, yes. Yes. My husband is the same way. He actually doesn't really like anything sweet. But I can get him on board with something sour. So he'll eat Sour Patch Kids, but he is not a donut fan. He is not a cake or a dessert fan.
Oh, that's so funny.
Maybe it's a man thing. I don't really
know. Maybe it is. Where were you born and where do you live now?
I was born in Huntington, West Virginia. And it's right where West Virginia, Ohio, and Kentucky meet, where Marshall University is. If you've seen We Are Marshall back in the day, that's where I grew up. And I currently live in central Indiana, just about 45 minutes outside of Indianapolis.
Okay, so what took you guys to Indiana?
I moved to Indiana for my undergraduate degree at Ball State. Okay, my husband will make sure I say this. I moved to Indiana for a boyfriend at the time, but also because the school had a great music program. It didn't work out with the boyfriend, but it worked out for the long run.
Yeah, very, very cool. Okay, and the last one is, when you aren't teaching, what is something you and your husband like to do, or what do you like to do with your family?
Oh, we love to go camping, which I know is something you guys also love.
Yeah.
Love it so much. I love reading and knitting and sewing and baking.
Oh, so good.
That's what I do.
So good. So great. Well, you are teaching online and running a thriving studio. I would love to kind of backtrack and hear when you got into online lessons. Was it the pandemic that started that, or was this something that you explored pre-pandemic?
Well, during the pandemic, I was actually running an after-school program in the middle school in my town. And so I had left the music classroom to do that because I had just gotten married. We wanted to start a family. I wanted a more flexible position. Running this program was a more flexible position than teaching in a classroom. But then I wanted to be at home with my daughter at the time, just one child at the time. So I did not start teaching online because of the pandemic, but in 2021, I realized that it was possible. And so I was running this after school program. I had a couple students in my really small home here in Indiana, and I started discovering that teaching online could be possible and just as effective and thriving. So it wasn't because of the pandemic, but it happened around the same time.
Okay. So that was when you started to explore it. Is that around the same time you joined Teach Music Online?
Not quite. So in March, April, I started taking on a few students, like I said, at home, and researching a little bit what I could do, how I could bring in an extra income to my family so I could be a stay-at-home mom. And I saw you doing one of your like 3-day marketing advertising workshops for free. And I was like, you know what? I love her energy. I love her personality. I love how she approaches things. Sure. So I did this 3-day thing and just fell in love with you. And like a few months later, you know, I would keep getting these targeted ads about Teach Music Online. And I'm like, I can't afford it right now. I can't swing it. And one day I just thought to myself, you know what? I charge this amount of money every month. This is all this costs every month. If Teach Music Online means I add one more student, I would have paid for the course and still made a profit. So I did it. So it took a few months.
Awesome. Yeah, no. And it's just interesting to hear the journey everybody's on and the tools that really they find along the way, because there are so many ways to improve our businesses and to think outside the box. And I love that for you, it took a little bit of like discovery and, oh, like I could do that. And like, oh, I should start researching this. And then finding our community, it's like, I'm not the only one, right?
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
Go ahead. Sorry.
It's okay. It just was so wonderful to see so many other teachers in the same boat or in similar boats that I was, because I just felt on an island, and it was nice to maybe be on a peninsula, not an island. I wasn't quite alone. There were some people around me. So it was wonderful.
Oh, that's so great. So you joined Teach Music Online, and then what did it look like? This was right around, I know you took some maternity leave. So
yes.
You had mentioned before that your maternity leave played an impact, you know, obviously in like what you're able to do as a teacher. And so how did you set that up with your lessons so that you could take a little bit of time off?
Well, what I did is, first and foremost, I had wonderful relationships with my students and with their families, and they're genuine relationships. Like, I didn't try and build these relationships with maternity leave in mind, thinking, oh, I need to really like be nice to this person so they're nice to me when I have to go on leave. First and foremost, I am a wife and a mom who loves the Lord and who really enjoys teaching piano. And so when I have a new student, my goal first and foremost is to just build a relationship with that student and that family. And so all that to say, I think the thing that helped the most going on maternity leave is that I already had genuine, wonderful relationships with these families. And all of my parents are parents. They know. Every single one of those moms had a baby. They get it. Like, they know what maternity leave means. They were so flexible. They were so kind. Now, as far as the nuts and bolts, I left that full-time job running an after-school program in July of 2022. At the time, I also knew I was pregnant. And so I was able to structure my calendar, my studio calendar, around when I thought I would have my baby. Thomas is his name. He's so sweet. So I was able to structure, you know, I can't take as much time off over Christmas. I can't take as much time off for spring break. I can't take a fall break because I need all of these weeks of time off to fall when I will have this baby. Because I still wanted to honor my families and the financial commitment and the time commitment that they were giving to me. And so in order to honor that, I had to take away some of those other breaks that I would normally get so that I could still teach 42 weeks out of the year. So that was helpful, that in structuring that calendar, I already knew I was pregnant. I knew I wanted to take this time off. I also, in January, so I was due February 1st of 2023 this year. So in January, I spent the whole month preparing my students and their parents for what maternity leave would look like. I didn't want it to be a surprise. I did teach until I went into labor. I don't know if I would do that again.
It's okay.
I was so pregnant. And I just, honestly, so I went into labor on a Thursday night and we went to the hospital at 3 a.m. And so I texted in my living room in labor, texting all my parents, like, we won't have lessons today, like, having this baby, see you in 6 weeks. So that was kind of silly. I don't know if I'd do that again, but
yeah.
I did spend all of January really preparing the students for, hey, we might have a lesson next week. We might not. And this is how long I expect to take off. And these are the things that you will do while I am gone.
Oh, that's awesome. Were you having them send you videos or assignments or anything during that 6 week time to kind of check in with them?
So what I did for my maternity leave is from November to January, I took a little extra time each week and filmed some videos. And I created a few different projects for my kids based on their age and level. Awesome. I teach preschoolers up until adults. Right now, I just have one adult. So most of my kids are about from 4 to 15. And so I had three different projects based on level. So I had the preschool book that my kids go through, and I just filmed some videos. I sent over a list. I sent a Google Doc that had, you know, like a start here Google Doc. So do this lesson. These are the materials you need. Click here to view it. You know, this lesson, these are the materials, view it.
Awesome.
So that was for the preschoolers. And then the other project, I did two versions of a composition project for my kids. That was broken down into 7 steps. And each step had, because I thought I would take roughly 7 weeks off, each step had instructions, it had a video that went along with it, and it had an action step at the end. Do this thing before you move on to the next step. I have a 3-year-old and now this new baby. Well, at the time she was 2.5 and now this new baby. I know I am not going to be able to keep up with videos from all of these kids every single week. So I just said, do it at your own pace. Please do it. It's a fun thing. And when we come back together, you will play your composition for me.
Wow.
And that was the way that I assessed what they did. In addition to their composition project, they did in the month of February a piano performance challenge. So I got the idea for the composition project from a teacher in Teach Music Online. And then I got the idea of the performance challenge from Christina Whitlock, who does this every year, who actually lives only like 30 minutes away from me.
I was going to say, that. Oh, that's so cool. Yeah.
So they had this challenge to do for the month of February, where you perform a piece that we have practiced for anyone in your life. There are rules that go with it. fine print, whatever. But at the end, they got $30 if they won. And that was a great incentive for the kids. So I knew they were playing and I trusted the parents because I have a good relationship with the parents. I trusted the parents to be honest and honorable in the signatures that they were putting on their child's sheet. And because I respect and trust my students, I knew I could trust them to be honorable in the signatures they put on their sheet as well. So that goes back to the relationships. That's another way I assessed after I came back. I looked at everybody's sheet. I had parents text me a picture of it. And the winner got $30 with 72 signatures.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So I love, for so many reasons, this is so, so smart. Hearing that it's possible to craft basically a program, basically a self-paced program for your students to go through while you are away. And they kept paying their monthly tuition through that week.
Yes.
That is so genius. Way to go.
Thank you. Thank you.
Because most teachers would just say, you know, I'm taking this time off, or here are other teachers you can go take from in the meantime. But you really thought ahead and thought, no, like, for multiple reasons, you don't want to lose the income, but you also don't want your students to lose momentum, right?
Right. Right. And I didn't want them to continue working through their method book without me. I teach in a way, my goal is always to work myself out of a job. In motherhood, in teaching music, like, I want to work myself out of a job so that my students can go away and practice effectively and grow beyond what I can do for them. But not while I'm on maternity leave and not when the majority of my students are young. So it was really important to me to have them still working on, have them still work on something, have them performing for people in their lives, keep that income that my family really needed, and not have to stress while I was up in the middle of the night feeding Thomas or changing diapers or, you know, all the stuff you do on maternity leave. I didn't want to stress. I just wanted it to happen.
Yeah.
And it did.
Oh, it's so great. So I'm curious, did all of these students, were these all pretty new students because you had just left your other job?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So how were you recruiting these students? Like, where were they coming from?
Goodness. So in the beginning, I had a couple of students, like I said, who were local to me. So I knew their parents. There was one student, even his mom runs a daycare. And so we bartered and she watched my daughter, Ansley, and I taught her some lessons.
Oh, that's awesome.
And nobody had to pay anybody and everybody got services done. And so it was local people that I just knew, or that just knew I taught piano. And then after that, after I left that job, oh, Carly, when I left in July of 2022, I had 5 students and now I'm full. And that is, it's been a year, just over. So that is not by any miracle that I did. I believe it's just by the grace of God that that happened. They just found me. I do have a Google business page. I do have a website. I do have a Facebook page that I am bad at and an Instagram. I'm in mom groups on Facebook and homeschool groups on Facebook. So
you put in the work. You did.
I put in the work. I did. But I never pushed. I never compromised on my price. I never compromised on my value. I just said, like, I'm here. And I've always been really honest about who I am and what I provide to students. I'm not the teacher. If you want your child to win concerto competitions and be a concert pianist, I'm not that teacher. And that's okay. I'm capable of being that teacher. I just don't want to be right now. I can show you the people who are those teachers, but don't come to me if that's what you want. So I've always been really honest and people sort of just found me. And then now it's word of mouth and referrals through my students. I offer families a financial incentive to refer me and to leave reviews, but not much. And I really do that because people forget, like people don't think about leaving reviews or referring. And yeah, so,
right,
you know, having that incentive for them kind of makes it in the forefront of their mind. But just the word of mouth and just saying like, hey, I'm here, I teach piano and I just love my students and keep teaching them. And people keep asking me if I have open spots.
I love it. I mean, so many things you've said without realizing it, you set that foundation up. Like, I'm so proud of you because
you went from
this very, like, this place of what am I going to do? Like, what does the future look like? Like, am I capable of, you know, crafting this in such a short amount of time to being full in less than a year? Like, that is really remarkable. And
thank you.
Yeah.
For me, full means 20 students because I'm a stay-at-home mom with a 3-year-old and a 9-month-old. So full for me looks different than full for other people, but it's full. I never thought I'd say that.
Yeah. But 20 students is a great number. And when you can really say like, yeah, I'm going to raise my rates, I'm in demand, you know, you'll start building that wait list and going, yep, my time is worth more. And it's a beautiful career and job to have as a stay-at-home mom where you can really have more flexibility in your hours. So I'm curious, what are the steps in Teach Music Online that helped you with some of those foundational things that you maybe wouldn't have known or done without it?
Well, so I went through the original course first, makes sense. And the first thing for me was, it was so helpful for me that I didn't have to do any of the research on what technology I needed. You have the list like, hey, here's this. I found this webcam to be great. I have found this microphone to be great. And I was like, cool, add to cart. I'm capable of doing the research, but I didn't have to. And that was such a weight off of me. And then also just the nuts and bolts of, you know, what is making my online presence appealing? And what are the things that I need to be putting out there and seeing other teachers and what they have? And I'm not good at social media. I'm still not, I don't like it. So it's helpful for me to go to places that have like, Kristen, just do this and this and this and this. And I'm like, oh, perfect. Mm-hmm. So just, you know, content ideas and those different types of things and figuring out kind of what I'm capable of charging and your calculators to do that. Again, like, thank you for doing all that work so I don't have to, right? I just get to plug the numbers in and see what comes out. And I was honestly shocked at the monthly tuition calculator. All the questions that you ask about, well, how long have you been teaching? What sort of degrees do you have? What sort of conferences and professional development? What do you offer your students? You know, group classes and all these different things. And I kept saying like, yes, 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 yes. And it never occurred to me like that I have racked up all of these things until I saw it on paper. And that was so validating for me to see like, I was just doing my thing. And all of a sudden, like all of these things I'm able to say yes to, and that is making me worth more and more valuable than I thought. And that was, I think, built my confidence more as a teacher overall than I realized. And that was great.
Almost like you needed permission to like it's someone giving you permission to charge X, where before when you're solo, when you're isolated and just doing it on your own, it really is just like grabbing a number from the air, like maybe this number, maybe that. And that calculator, it's interesting looking back because I created that calculator 4 years ago based off of this idea that I think teachers forget what they charge is not just time. It is not just time. Like your maternity leave is evidence of that. It is forethought. It is so many things, but it's also not just a degree. Like to me, a degree is not anything or everything. Because right. we have teachers who are leaving other careers and moving into teaching who don't have teaching degrees. And I'm like, great, that's fine. It's value. Mm-hmm. It is effort, value, what you're planning. Are you teaching these set of skills? You can charge yeah. more. Are you like teaching composition and improvisation? And what is your method? You can charge more. And mm-hmm. I should go back and I could probably even add more to the calculator now that it's been yes. a few years, but
yeah.
but I love so many teachers. It has been such an eye opener to them. And so yeah. validating going, oh yeah, I'm okay putting that number down.
Right. Absolutely. And you know, I always, our plan is to homeschool our children. And even though my daughter is only three, she sees me teach online. And so she wants to be a teacher and she wants to learn things. And so we started with preschool this year. And so, you know, I'm in a lot of like homeschool mom kind of communities of women worried that they aren't capable of homeschooling their children. I promise mm-hmm. this connects. And I always tell them, I have a teaching degree and a teaching license in two states, Indiana and West Virginia. And let me tell you what I learned in college. Yes, I learned how to be a better musician. Yes, I learned so much wonderful musicality. I learned so many wonderful music things. But you know what else I learned? How to manage a classroom of 30 students. Do you know what I do not do as a homeschool mom or a private one-on-one teacher? Manage a classroom of 30 students. That degree got me to Indiana, where I met my husband and where I live. That degree built so many wonderful connections in my life and taught me a lot. It also probably wasn't super necessary. Probably not super necessary. Additionally, you know, you said it's more than just my time that I'm charging for. I saw somebody just yesterday on Instagram say that, you know, I can do this thing in 30 minutes, but you're not paying me to do it in 30 minutes. You are paying me for the years and years of experience, training, mm-hmm. skills, and expertise that led me up to be able to do this in 30 minutes. And I was like, yes, absolutely. I am not charging, you know, piano teachers, music teachers, whatever. We're not charging for a 30-minute lesson. We are charging for every single thing that led us up to be this effective music teacher mm. in this amount of time right now.
Amen. Yes. I second that. I second that. Absolutely. And the more teachers can believe that, truly believe that, and have confidence mm-hmm. in that, the more success they have, the faster yes. they fill their studios. Because yes. I really feel that when we are confident in that, people are attracted to your studio. Like, they're not attracted to the apologetic teacher, the teacher who's like, oh, trying to convince. They're not. They're attracted to no. the teacher who knows what's up and is like, yeah, this is it. You take it or leave it.
Yeah. And I hope this doesn't come across the wrong way. I don't need more students. I really enjoy teaching. I love it. I love the relationships I get to build. But when I shifted my focus from, I need more students so that I can quit my job, so I can be home with my daughter, and mm-hmm. so I can be home when this baby is born. When I shifted my focus from that to, you know what? I have 5 students. I need to be home with my family. Like, I want to be home with my kids. I don't need students. I need to pour into the students that I have in front of me right now. Do you know what happened? I got full in. By the time I went on maternity leave in January, so my son was born January 27th of this year. So I went on maternity leave that day. By that time, between July and January, I had 17 students and 2 more registered and set to start when I returned. And I have currently 1 more set to start in January after the holidays.
Oh, it's so great. Oh, this is just so fun. It's neat to hear the mindset that you have. And I'm positive it's helpful, because we get emails all the time from teachers who have this feeling of urgency, like, mm-hmm. how soon can I get my studio filled? And I think this is helpful to hear that that mindset isn't helpful. Okay, we're going to switch gears a tiny bit because okay. I really am excited to hear about what you're building. You are building some sort of course membership. Tell me all about it.
Okay, so I do still need a cool name. So if you have an idea for a cool name, or if anybody ends up having an idea for a cool name, much appreciated. But when going on maternity leave, and like I said, you know, I built these projects for my kids. I just loved it. Like, it made sense. And I have a few students who shift back and forth between live and kind of asynchronous lessons. And I have parents and people who want me to teach them, but either, you know, our times don't line up, or they want to sort of do it on their own and do it on their own time. And I'm seeing a lot right now, people love to subscribe to things. Like, you want to be able to pay to go back to something anytime. People love that. And so I thought, you know what? Why not just build out what I've already started on maternity leave and kind of expand it so that families who, for whatever reason, cannot or don't want to have live one-on-one lessons can still be my student and subscribe to this piano course where you don't get it all at once. You still just get a certain amount each month. You pay month to month. When you're finished, you're finished. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm happy to give access forever to whatever you've already paid for.
So is this monthly content you're putting out, or is it pre-recorded videos or both?
So it's pre-recorded. I'm still really in kind of the beginning, like figuring it out stages and sort of recording some things. But the idea is I will still meet with a student in the beginning because I want to assess what they know, figure out what their learning goals are, and figure out what method and what resources would be most effective for that student. And from there, you get monthly pre-recorded content to work through. Videos of the method, recordings of, you know, playing the songs, additional resources that could be helpful to you. And then those students are always welcome to join my monthly group classes and mm-hmm. my recitals that I have twice a year. But yeah, pay monthly.
Very and cool.
When you're done, you're done.
That's so cool. And I was just thinking through, like, you have this connection now to the homeschooling network in your area. And once, you know, homeschool moms are looking for stuff like that all the time.
Yeah.
Are looking for programs that add educational programs that they can use to fill in the gaps, you know, not really right. gaps, but things that we feel like maybe we're missing in school. And yes. That our kids might be missing. And so even thinking through, like, you have a, you know, a teaching degree, you could even add a lot of music appreciation to it and other supplemental things to that moms can be doing with their kids. Like, the sky is the limit with stuff like that.
It is. It is. And, you know, sometimes that's hard for me because I know the sky is the limit. And what I need to do is focus on one thing and complete that thing and then move on to whatever the sky has for me next. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, it's exciting. The sky is the limit and I can do all kinds of things in that. And that's fun.
It is. And I mean, my recommendation would be start with your first 3 to 4 months of content. And then you're just 3 to 4 months out, right? Like you can just keep adding and trusting that you'll know what to add when that time comes. Yes. And you don't have to even have a whole year worth before launching something like that. You just need to be, I loved a mentor told me once, like, helping people who have courses and coach other people with, this is before I launched Teach Music Online, and something that they said that always sticks with me is, like, you only have to be one step in front of the people you are mentoring. Yes. And that hit me so hard. Like, I don't have to know everything right now. I just need to help them with that next step. And so it's interesting because the teachers inside our community, they're always so amazed when I come out with new stuff. And I'm like, I'm just learning right ahead of you. I'm just a few steps in front of you. And I love learning it. And I love creating courses that help you learn it faster than I had to, because then it can save you a little time, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then you have the time. Now I have the time because you've done it before me and I can just learn it. Now I have the time to, you know, maybe I have the time to add a new student. Maybe I have the time. What I did this year is instead of trying to teach back to back to back, I built 15-minute buffers between every lesson so I can change poopy diapers, so I can get snacks. So my kids, they're not here right now, but my kids are always on the other side of the computer, which is interesting. It's always a little wild. But in that buffer, you know, I have that freedom now because I have saved some time. I have that freedom to add something or to do a new hobby. I'm not just a music teacher. I'm not just a mom. I do other things.
You go camping.
I go camping. Now I can go camping more.
Oh, awesome. Well, Kristen, thank you so much for imparting your wisdom and really for encouraging teachers who are on the other end still, who are that summer of 2022 for you, you know, on that, the fence about jumping in or not, leaving the university or leaving the school. Mm-hmm. And we want more teachers to take that leap because of the freedom, the flexibility, and the control you really truly have over your own income and your own schedule. And I feel like that's kind of what I've gathered from this discussion.
Absolutely. Thank you. And, you know, I love that, you know, I said, I don't have a ton of capacity for a larger studio. 20 is my max right now, but I'm so thankful. There are so many other wonderful, loving, kind piano teachers who have more capacity than I do, or have more room in their schedules to take on students that I can't. I am not competing with anybody. I am not trying to be the best or anybody's savior. I just want to see everybody have that mind shift of like, what do you really need? What do you really want? And, you know, even take that a step deeper to what's under that and see just people thrive and enjoy what they do and have a joyful life.
Yeah, I love it. Well, thank you, Kristen.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me. It was wonderful to speak with you.
I hope that you found our conversation today as enlightening and energizing as I did. I feel like her approach to blending music with life's other roles is such a wonderful reminder of the flexibility and impact that we can have as online teachers. As we wrap up today's episode, I would love for you to take a moment to reflect on any of the new ideas that you've gathered for creating a sustainable online teaching format. I always want to bring it back to what inspired you. Now, in all of my podcast episodes, I give you tons of ideas and tons of stories and tons of inspiration for what you could be doing, but it's not realistic to do all of it, and certainly not to do all of it at once. So what was it that inspired you today? How can you apply some of those strategies and insights to your own studio, to your own practice? Feel free to come and share your thoughts with the Teach Music Online community, or come even better, actually, send me a direct message on Instagram. You can find me on Instagram at Teach Music Online. You can also find our free Facebook community group that's public. Just search for Teach Music Online on Facebook. If Kristen's success story has sparked an interest in taking your own studio to the next level, then I would invite you to join the Teach Music Online waitlist. Absolutely, you should be on the waitlist if you're not currently one of our members. We're currently closed to new members, but if you're on the waitlist, you will be the first to know when we open our doors again, giving you the opportunity to access the wealth of resources, support, and community that has helped teachers like Kristen transform their teaching practices and lives. Here's how you join the waitlist. Go to teachmusic.online/waitlist. Don't miss this chance. I want you to get on the waitlist today so that you'll get the updates as they come. I'm so excited for you to be there. Thank you once again for tuning into the Teach Music Online podcast. Until next time, happy teaching. I know what little time you have to learn what you need to be successful. This is why I created the Teach Music Online membership, the only membership dedicated to helping online studio owners thrive. Here you'll find courses, group coaching, and community, all designed to save you time and help you grow your business. So whether you're hoping to create more engaging lessons, grow a waitlist, create digital courses, or build a new website, we have exactly what you need. And now you can also get online teaching certified with our certification course. To join the waitlist, head over to teachmusic.online and you'll be notified when we open doors to new members. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you there.